batter up. My microphone was open. I didn't realize it. Hey, Karen Vitti's coming in about 12:30. We got some news. We got news about news.
And now, here's Bill Benica.
Hey. Hi, you're with Bill Benica. Talk is cheap. Your friend's name is ever. He passed away, that guy. He's only 63 years old. What was his name? We got Horseshack. Okay. Whatever happened to John Travolta? Oh, yeah, that's right, man. All right, you're a Bill. And so we're going to have Karen in. We're going to get two big stories we're going to talk about. And then we have other things to talk about. For instance, Usain Bolt is torqued off. He's not. He says, I'm not running England anymore. First, I got to pay taxes on the money I win, and then I have to pay taxes on the endorsements. I mean, that's just kind of out of control. For Usain Bolt, it came as a jolt.
I know that when you hear the name Pacific Coast Kitchen and Bath, you immediately think of great flushing Toto toilets. Or maybe it's our state-of-the-art Growy kitchen and bath faucets. Or maybe it's those tiny massaging bubbles of a Jason Comfort Air Bath. But here's something you may not know. We have the most fabulous line of cabinet and door hardware on the Central Coast. Knobs and pulls created for whatever look you desire. Rustic, modern, craftsman, Asian, in durable, long-lasting finishes like Venetian bronze, brushed nickel, distressed copper, or even cloisonne. The choices are endless, the quality superb. You'll find that Pacific Coast Kitchen and Bath has the county's widest selection of bathroom vanity cabinets in all types of designs. Roomy linen storage cabinets, beveled mirror medicine cabinets, and handcrafted wall mirrors. That's Pacific Coast Kitchen and Bath behind Trader Joe's in San Luis Obispo.
Karen Scott Audiology, now at her new location, 3220 South Higuera, Suite 320 in San Luis Obispo next to the DMV. Dr. Karen Scott has been serving the Central Coast and the community for over 30 years. What's important to remember is that hearing loss can occur at any age, from newborns to your grandparents. Let's stop the stigma of having to wear hearing aids. With today's technology, new sleek hearing aids are available. Karen Scott carries Starkey, Phonic, Widex, just to name a few. They have the knowledge and the experience to help you with all your hearing aid needs. They also offer clinical audiology as well as industrial screenings. Call her for your free consultation. Call 541-1790. When was the last time you had yours or your child's hearing checked? How about that teen that listens to that loud music or that's not doing so well in school? They could be suffering from hearing loss. Karen Scott Audiology. Call 541-1790 because hearing really matters.
It does. Here, we don't have a whole lot in our flashback, our history, our highlights, or anything. It wasn't a big day. That's all there was to it. It was a big day for some robbers, though, because on August 14th of 1962, robbers held up a U.S. mail truck in Plymouth, Massachusetts, making off with more than $1.5 million. The loot was not recovered. This was back in 1962 because a mail truck now doesn't cover more, driver carries less than $5 in cash. In 1848, the Oregon Territory was created. In 1951, newspaper publisher William Randolph Hearst croaked at 88 years old in Beverly Hills. Our birthday is former NFL quarterback John Brody is 77. Rock singer David Crosby is 71. Actor Steve Martin, 67. Author Danielle Steele is 65. Former NBA Magic Johnson is 53. NBA All-Star guy Magic Johnson. Actress and Dodger owner guy. Actress Halle Berry is 46. We want to say happy birthday to them and happy birthday to you if it is yours.
Happy birthday to you.
Use Ajax, the foaming cleanser. Clean pots and pans just like a whiz.
Ajax cuts grease faster than any other leading cleanser.
Use the paying the elbow tax when you start cleaning with Ajax.
Ajax really polishes as it cleans.
So use Ajax, the foaming cleanser. Floats the dirt right down the drain.
My gosh, they're right. Foaming action Ajax makes even the dirtiest pan shine like new in a jiffy.
So use Ajax.
Wow, now San Luis Diagnostic Center has a new MRS. Everyone's needs. If you're somewhat claustrophobic or simply uncomfortable being placed in a small tube, you can choose the brand new 3 Tesla Open MRI. This new gold standard in MR imaging was previously available only at research institutions such as the Mayo Clinic. Now it's available locally at San Luis Diagnostic Center. It's the most open ultra high field scanner in the world. and its state-of-the-art technology can diagnose disease far earlier. With radiologists specially trained in the interpretation of neurological and bone and joint diseases, San Luis Diagnostics Center offers an uncompromising combination of technology and physician expertise. The next time your doctor recommends that you have an MRI, insist on the best. The Ultra High Field Open MRI, only at San Luis Diagnostics Center. All major insurances accepted.
Celebration of the Dodgers' win over Pittsburgh last night. He'll play again tonight, by the way, and that was Doc Watson. However, our Giants not so good. They just got pounded by the Nationals for sure. 14 runs in the first five innings by the Nationals. Oh, that's just having a bad day. You know, that's just like, okay, we don't know what happened here. We don't know how it happened. It'll never happen again. That's all if we can help it. And what the heck was that? You're with Bill. Talk to Chief Friends and Neighbors Network, 1340 KYNS, your new station in San Luis Obispo. Karen Veeley's on her way in about 12:30 or so, and we'll get an update because she was down in L.A. yesterday, and she has two major stories that fit today. I'm okay. Matter of fact, I had a nice evening. I went to the Palm Theater, then I went to Moe's and had a sandwich, a chicken. And anyway, it was very nice. It was, you know, we still have a lot of turistas in San Luis Obispo. It was busy-ish, you know what I'm saying? And did you know Santa Maria schools start today? What did they do wrong? They do. Wow. August? Starting August. June? Never August. But I guess everybody starts in August now. Adored by generations of Red Sox fans, Johnny Pesky was so much a part of Boston baseball that the right field foul pole at Fenway Park was named for him. And Pesky played, managed, and served as a broadcaster for the Red Sox in a baseball career that lasted more than 60 years. Died yesterday. He was 92. We might as well stick with sports for the moment. What the heck? Shotputter stripped of gold medal. Just, I mean, you look at him, you think to yourself, there must be something going on that's not right. Just hours after the close of the Olympics, a female shot putter from Belarus was stripped of her gold medal in the first case of an athlete losing a medal for doping at the Olympic Games. And so, you can't pronounce her name or anything. Ostapchuk. Ostapchuk. Anyway, so the gold medal was awarded to Valerie Adams of New Zealand. I was really happy to get it. You can bet like that. And then, let's see what it said here. It was a total of... I'm sorry, I lost it. I think it said a total of 8 people got chucked out. I can't find it now. But anyway, that's what happened. Like 8 people got chucked out for testing. Now, see, here's what happened, though. She tested. She gave blood. She, whatever they do, they pee or give blood, whatever they do, before she shot the put. And then she, and then after she put the shot, she then did another test. And that's when they discovered that both were not good, as best I could tell. Okay. Other, this is actually sporting news, even though it doesn't sound like it. It's over before it even started. VH1 has canceled Ev and Ocho. Seeing as how they just got in domestic disturbance, he whapped her with his head. He did a headbutt, and this they said forget it. And plus, the Miami Dolphins gave him the walking papers. So it's kind of a tawdry right there. Enough of that. I'm gonna try to somehow, if we can today, I'm gonna somehow try to brighten it up a little bit. You know what I mean? I was watching CNN before I came to work, and it's like, oh, just one thing after another thing after another thing after another thing. That's no good. Anything funny? Must be something funny. I am speaking about this from way afar, okay? I recognize I am. But I've heard this fight going on for years and years and years in California. I've been in California a long time. And I find it... I just find it very interesting, and it seemed like a better idea 40 years ago than it does today. I'm going to say it that way. Now it doesn't seem like such a great idea to me, and that's to take out the dam at Hetch Hetchy and the O'Shaughnessy Dam. And the reason I say that is that I realize that people are like, well, it's the only, you know, thing that's in a, what do you call it, it's the only city-owned thing in a national park, and you know, but... This is not the time to me. This is just me. You know, and you can say, no, you're not, you don't know what you're talking about, Bill. Maybe I don't. But this is not the time to cut off water sources that are already in existence, as far as I can see, in California. This seems a little bit foolhardy to me. But there's going to be a thing on the ballot that says you can give it the go-ahead, and then 4 years from now they'll revisit it and decide if they're going to do it and drain the thing. What was the cost if they drain it and fix it and all that? The cost was insane. Let me tell you what it was. So it was in the billions of dollars to try to fix it up. It would be it only costs $30,000 a year right now to have it. This is what we pay Congress. But it says to restore it would cost $3 to $10 billion. And so the argument is that this is like another Yosemite Valley, but you can't use it as a valley because there's water in it. It's got boats and stuff. You can use it as a lake. What's wrong with that? Yeah. It's been a big issue here. Fair numbers slip, by the way. Auctions improve. General attendance dropped 4.7%. For concerts, the decline is 19%. Can I say that I would not. I'm not surprised at that. You know, the economy hasn't been great, and you know, tickets to some of these shows aren't exactly cheap. So, not surprising really. But they still did very well, by the way. You know, over $400,000. In total attendance, and concert attendance went from 83,000 to 67,000, which is right where it was back in 2010. 2011 was just exceptional for some reason. It's been fairly it's consistent, except for that 1 year. I did really swell. And the fair is over, just in case you weren't sure. All right, 4 mayors likely to have no opposition. Deadline passes for filing with incumbents alone on the ballot. Write-ins are possible. I can't see anybody doing anything on the write-in ballot. But anyway, you got Tony Ferreira, Tim O'Malley, Dwayne Picano, and Shelley Higginbotham. So they're just going to hang tough. They're just hanging tough is what I'm telling you. It's like, eh, I'm hanging tough. That's the way it is. I guess it makes you pause and ask, you know, why is that? Why is the fact that people aren't interested in running against these people? And is it because they're so darn good at what they're doing? Which I hope. I mean, I don't live in these cities, so I hope. You know, or is it because people aren't interested? Which is kind of too bad. You know, have you ever been to a city council meeting? It's the most boring thing, besides the supervisor's meeting, it's the most boring thing in the whole wide world. I don't know why anybody wants to be one of these people, because just the boredom factor, you know, the thing. I can't sit still that long. I can't do it. These big, long meetings and everything. People just ramble on and on. I can't handle that job. I'll admit it. That's why. I have bipolars or something. I got PT. What's the other thing called? What do the kids get? I don't know. Tourette syndrome. I have something that makes it so I can't sit there. Okay. And when we were doing the Lost at Sea Memorial for Cayucos, I had to go to the Cayucos Planning Commission meeting, Cayucos Community Action Committee, whatever it was. And we sat there, Nancy and I, for 3 hours, almost 4 hours, at the first night we went, and then there was no time to call on us. So then we had to go back. I couldn't believe I had to go back. And Bruce Gibson, he sits through that whole thing and stays awake and everything, and his assistant, who I know, Edsa was like, holy cow. Anyway, so we went back and we spent another 4 hours. And then they finally said, okay, Ben, I could make it quick. How do you think? So these people that do these things, you know, I can't do them. I don't know how people do them. Other people in the news, Kenny G's divorcing after 20 years, which is really too bad. He has a 14-year-old son. And then Robert Pattinson appeared on, was it Jay Leno? Yeah. No, on Jon Stewart's show, on The Daily Show. And so they didn't really talk directly about Kristen Stewart, who had an affair with a married movie director and all that kind of stuff. And Robert Pattinson's probably feeling like, you know. But here's how they describe this, which is not, I'm not surprised they say this. Robert Pattinson's called the Twilight heartthrob. Young people, you know, young people like this guy. He's different. He's different than most actors that people like when they're young, don't you think? Anyway, but there it is. I saw him in that Water for Elephants, which I enjoyed. I didn't enjoy him that much. So. Now, this isn't surprising to know. The Richmond refinery, the damaged pipe, they can't get to it yet, you know, because they're making so much money in the gasoline now. Why would you bother to try to fix this thing in a hurry? Are you kidding? So anyway, right now they just can't get to it. They can't. It's unsafe for pipe repair work. They can't get to that pipe. Are you kidding? Even God couldn't get to that pipe. So anyway, that's what's going on with that. So that's really too bad. But they'll get it fixed eventually, but just not fast. So that's the good news there. Eventually. All right. Now, here was a weird story. This was a kind of a, they had a, you know, Karen Vealy had on Calcos News the other day. She had great whites endangered. And so she said, and, you know, we talked about the great whites endangered. So we don't have that many of them, really. The ones that we do have seem to be vicious. But there's about 220 adults and near adults near the Central Coast region, and fewer than 400 statewide. And this is Shark Week. I watched part of Shark Week. Melagonic. The thing, the big, huge shark that they made a model of from a replica from when he was, you know, back then. Anyway, Megalodon. That's it. I got it. Megalodon. That was a big fish. Whew. Anyhow, so they got this shark thing on the, what is it, on the Learning Channel? Yeah, Learning Channel. That's for a whole week. There's only so much that you can watch, to tell you the truth. That's fine. So much you can stand. Here's another thing that was kind of interesting, I thought. They have a new alarm system at Napa State Hospital. Now, let me just say this, if I can. I mean, I'm not trying to be a wise guy or anything. But here's this thing. They're going to have some kind of alarm that fits around your neck on a lanyard. And so a lot of the people are saying, you know, this isn't, and this is for the criminally insane unit. And some people are saying, well, this isn't very safe to have a thing around your neck. You know, so you don't wear a necktie when you're in one of these units, so somebody can just grab it and use it as a garrote. But other people are saying if it works where they're trying it now, they say we're going to try it in other places. Let me see where it is right here. If it works there, if Napa's pilot program is successful, it will be used at Norwalk's Metropolitan State Hospital, San Bernardino's Patton State Hospital, Coalinga State Hospital, and Tascadero State Hospital would follow next year. And everybody have the lanyard on. Help me, I can't get up. And they'd have all that. I think it sounds a little bit weird. I think it sounds kind of dangerous. And I have to tell you the truth. If I was a psych tech up there, I think I would put it in my pocket.
Did you know Red Dirt Coffee House now delivers? Call in your order ahead of time and they will have your order ready for you, or you can have it delivered to your home or office. Try one of their 100% all fruit smoothies with no sugar added, or a blended coconut mocha, or iced vanilla bean. Red Dirt Coffee also serves delicious food items all day long. For breakfast, try their breakfast burrito with Hawaiian sausage, or a hula wrap, or steel cut oatmeal steaming hot and ready to go. Lunchtime offers scrumptious sandwiches like the Island Turkey Sandwich with melted provolone cheese, or the Bird of Paradise with chicken salad made with pecans, cranberries, and Red Dirt's own yogurt poppy seed dressing on a flaky croissant. Red Dirt Coffee has homemade soups daily too. Red Dirt Coffee also has a large selection of gluten-free pastries and menu items. Red Dirt Coffee is sure to leave you happy with the aloha spirit. Open 7 days a week and until 11 p.m. Monday through Saturday. Red Dirt Coffee at 1452 East Grand Avenue in Arroyo Grande in the Applebee Shopping Center. Red Dirt Coffee, now delivering. Time now for your community calendar. Every Saturday through August 18th is Movies at the Mission in San Luis. And it is free. Movies start at 7 o'clock and they are family friendly. So bring your blankets and a picnic dinner and come on out to the Mission. All movies start at 7 o'clock every Saturday through August 18th. CASA of San Luis Obispo County is recruiting new volunteers to become advocates and mentors for foster children. If you would like more information, please call 541-6542 or visit slowcasa.org. Get ready for some fun. People of all ages will enjoy the entertainment at the Stone Soup Music Fair happening on Saturday, August 25th at Ramona Garden Park. If you would like more information, call 489-9091. And if you have something happening in your zip code, we want to hear about it. Calendar at RadioCentralCoast.com.
The suicide rate in the Army is growing. And unfortunately, Army experts tell me that it's not likely to go down anytime soon. This week, we're tackling one of the biggest issues in the U.S. military, specifically that of suicides among troops in the ranks, especially in the Army. It's really a mystery. They keep going up, even though the military is throwing millions of dollars trying to curb this terrible scourge. In our investigation, we interviewed two widows who lost their husbands on the same day, March 21st of this year. In one of our cases, we had a young woman whose husband, a West Point graduate, an Army Apache helicopter pilot, just back from Iraq, having flown 70 combat missions, sought help six times in the week before he killed himself. Each time, he was turned away or told, "We can't see you now," or "You're talking to the wrong person," until ultimately he decided to end it all. Our other subject is an Army doctor, someone that the U.S. taxpayers paid a lot of money to train. He came in as a grunt, as a bomb squad guy, and he ended up going to the Pentagon's medical school in Maryland and ended up as a doctor at Tripler Army Medical Center in Hawaii. And he had been plagued with depression for 7 years. And his wife constantly sought help for him from the Army. He would take some of it, but not much of it. And her ultimate plea was, "Army, he's a good soldier. You can order him to get mental health care." And the Army declined to do this repeatedly. In fact, the Army told her, "You know, this doesn't sound like an Army problem. This sounds more like a family problem." And several months later, the Army doctor hung himself in the hospital, which led the wife to conclude, "Well, maybe it wasn't such a family problem after all." He was in his uniform in the Army hospital and died the same day as the West Point graduate. We focused on these two stories because they speak volumes about the issue of suicide in the military. While the Army and the military insist they're doing all they can to protect our young men and women in uniform, what we found is that many times knocks on the mental health doors go unanswered, either because the mental health workers are overworked, are overwhelmed, the lines are simply too long, or because there's still a stigma inside the military in terms of dealing with this problem. There is the notion that PTSD and traumatic brain injuries, which are sort of the two signature wounds of our two past wars, don't always make themselves known when they happen. Rather, they are more like seeds that are planted, and they may sprout 6 months, 2 years, 3 years down the road. So just because fighting is winding down both in Iraq and Afghanistan doesn't mean that the problem is going to go away anytime soon.
That's they're going to have that article in Time magazine, by the way, so I thought I'd go ahead and share that with you. All right, that's what's going on with that. I really thought that the Queen of the Day would be in here, Queen for a Day. What was that name of that show with Jack Bailey? Queen for a Day. I thought she was going to be here by now. So that's why I played the good, the bad, and the ugly, because it has to do with our news. It has to do with Karen Vealey, Kelly Gearhart, and Adam Hill. But new, I'm sitting here all alone once again. Always the bridesmaid. Hey, it's a nice day out, except where it's hot, which is a lot of places. Another one, it's not snow so bad in San Luis Obispo, supposed to be around 80, and then along the coast and all that, we got the stuff and what snow and whatever else we got, you know. And then now this woman of mystery, Karen Vealey, has decided to grace our studio with her presence. Hi, Karen.
Hi.
How are you? Wait, let me get my thing here. I got to get my thing here. Okay. Now, tell me what you want to do today. Do you want to start with, what do you want to start with?
Let's start with the Kelly Gearhart.
All right, let's do that.
Kelly Gearhart had...
So you went to L.A. You had to go.
I actually didn't drive to L.A. I was going to go to L.A. because I wanted to take pictures, but instead I talked to the federal attorney down there and asked him if he would talk to me after the trial, and he agreed to give me a call, and then I pulled up documents online regarding the trial.
Oh, cool. That's, I'm glad you didn't have to go to L.A. But tell us what happened. Tell us what transpired.
Kelly Gearhart pled innocent. He has not agreed to a plea agreement at this time. According to a motion filed afterwards, he is working on a plea agreement with the feds. He pled innocent. And here's one thing I thought was interesting. His bail was $100,000, and he was never arrested. and they let a friend and a relative each pledge that they would be responsible for $50,000 of his bail, which that is unusual.
Yeah, that is, actually. And they won't reveal who that is, right?
They won't, but I'm trying to find out. I'm hoping to find out by the end of the week. But
I bet it isn't somebody that he lost money in the deal.
I bet it's not someone that lost money, but the federal attorney's office did tell me it was someone not connected to the case at all. They thought. They said their evidence showed that this person wasn't connected. But I still found it interesting. And also the $100,000. Didn't Karen Guth and Josh Aguda both have $500,000 each?
Yeah. This whole thing baffles me anyway, because you said to me, well, they hadn't come up with a plea agreement yet, so they're probably going to do that, and I understand that, and that they went till what, January or something, the lawyers went till January to look at new stuff, and then they brought up here's what they love this. My cohort in crime here, Gerhardt's attorney said that they need more time to review the voluminous amounts of evidence, including tapes of a radio show in which Gerhardt called into the Dave Connellan talk show on KBC to claim Calco's news articles on his alleged fraud schemes were untrue.
Yeah.
But yet they weren't, apparently, according to the United States government. They don't seem to be untrue.
One of the interesting things, there was a three-day radio show. The first one, I went on the radio, and I was explaining my documents. Well, one of the presidents of one of the banks, Lyons with San Luis Trust Bank, which is now gone anyway, the feds took it over, he called in to just say that my numbers were crazy and there was no way there was $8,000 interest and I didn't understand finance and, you know, people shouldn't listen to me. And then Kelly called in next to, what did he call me? He said I was an inquirer in something, you know, in our county and that I was all wrong and none of this was true and he was going to sue me. And then Dave asked me what I thought, and he goes, I'm not speaking to her. And Dave said, but she's the guest today. We did 3 days of this, and with Kelly screaming and yelling, all these things were wrong. But interesting enough, with the federal attorney's reports regarding the that one property, they came out with exactly the same number I did on beneficial interest. So they actually, you know, but that's, I think what you have is after the point, and I'm wondering if the banker couldn't be in trouble.
Well, here's the thing. So they're going to try to make a plea. I assume Kelly Gerhardt's going to go for a plea agreement, but how little time could he get? If you got 3 years you're looking at, how little time can they possibly get?
He's looking at 300 years.
I'm sorry, 300 years. So they can't do less than 20, could he?
I don't know. I've talked to people that have been interviewed by the FBI. They say across the board almost, they're asked, do you know who the public officials Kelly was going to Sacramento to see? Who was Kelly Gerhardt? What was this? So I'm wondering, I would think they'd rather have public officials, and if there's some high-ranking state officials, if there's some county officials, if there's some Atascadero City officials, I think they would rather have those out of office than give Kelly the full amount of time. And remember, Kelly just had a baby about 2 years ago. His wife was involved in this. They could say, you know, we'll leave your wife out. We'll do this, 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 and this. We'll give you this amount of time. But it is taking a while to get this plea agreement done. And it's been...
I understand what you're saying to me about all this. I have a hard time with if the man is able to conjure up $100,000 from two donors fairly rapidly. I'm not saying throw him in the slammer exactly, but I have to say I don't understand why he's not a flight risk. If I was looking at 300 years in jail, I'd be gone. I'd be somewhere. I don't care where it is. I'd go to Mexico. I'd do the swappy across the border thing. Say, here, you can have my ID. Give me yours.
I think running sometimes is harder to do. And he does have the baby. He has another son that's working here. Actually, the City of Slow Utilities Department hired his other son.
Good.
So, he does have some family members, and it will be, and again, I think, I think he'd like to keep his wife out of trouble in the long run.
Sure.
And who knows, I honestly have no clue what's going on with this plea agreement, but I read some things that Jay Miller said about the plea agreement they were trying to get him to do, and it appeared to be, we want you to say the same things in court that you said in the grand jury about the involvement of others. So I would think that this is the same thing going on with Kelly Gerhardt.
Amazing stuff. We have other things that we're going to get to because we've got four stories, really, that are huge today. So we got Kelly Gearhart, so now we see what happens with that. So we're still expecting a plea agreement, yes?
We're expecting a plea agreement. Currently, the trial said, I think it's October 9th, I'm not positive. They did do a motion after the arraignment hearing on Monday. The attorneys filed a motion asking to have it extended to January with one of the reasons that they expected to do a plea agreement also. You know, they expected to have that done, and there was too much information to look at, and that they all agreed. And the one attorney said he had a lot of cases ahead of this.
And you know what's interesting? I'm realizing with the courts. The courts here, John Trice, I believe it was Judge John Trice in the Destiny Myers trial.
Yeah.
Said, we got to get the pedal to the metal on this thing, so I'll give you till January to sort this out. And I'm thinking, what pedal to what metal is that? You know, I mean, 6 months? That's a long time to me. That's not fast.
Well, you did have one attorney that died, remember?
Right.
And so, this is a death penalty case. And I think with an attorney passing away, you have to get a new attorney on board, fairly quickly. And I had a feeling when that attorney died that this was going to turn everything on its head a little bit.
Right. Now let's go to. We could do these in any order because they're all so bizarre. doesn't matter which way you turn. Tell me about the Paso Robles city officials in the election.
Oh, yeah. This is just kind of strange. There is, if you read the law regarding elections, it does say that you can't say personal information about your opponent and that you're supposed to talk about your qualifications. And also that the clerk is responsible for making sure things are done right. But then the case law seems to show that what's expected to happen, it's not someone in the city administration says changes. It's somebody else has 10 days to file and say something is wrong. In case law, a judge ruled that qualifications in 1999, a judge, Hammond versus Arjon, there was an argument that this man was talking about problems in the city and not just his own qualifications. That went to court and it said qualifications are why are you good. It can be about problems in the city. You just can't say personal information about the other party. Seem to be more so the thing that you're not allowed to say. But Jim Reed is running for council, and he goes in to fill out his forms, and he's told that he has got to refill it out and that three city employees are going to tell him how to rewrite it. And why three city employees tell him what he needs to change, they go in a back room and they work to rewrite this. Interesting enough, Meg Whitman is one of them. She's the assistant city manager, and almost, you know, these people have said we need a change of not only government but administration in Paso Robles. So someone that has a dog in the race is telling him how to reword his campaign statement to take out that the city's in financial trouble, to take out problems in the city. I found that very strange the way that went down.
So now here's an interesting comment from Judy Rodewald. She said Stu Jenkins right here? Yes, Stu Jenkins. Said to make those determinations would necessarily draw the city election clerks out of the neutrality they must maintain to fairly conduct an election, he said. Only the court may change or delete materials from a candidate's sample ballot statement, and only then on a limited basis. County Clerk Recorder Julie Rodewald disagreed with that contention, saying, the cities make their own decision as to what to accept, she wrote in an email. If I were presented with Reed's first statement, I would discuss with my counsel whether it violated state code before accepting it.
So the council that he's running against, that he's wanting to outseat, should be able to tell him what he puts in his campaign statement? That seems to be a conflict of interest.
Let me go backwards because I'm confused right from the very beginning of the story. So what's the contention that he put in this campaign statement? What is it that's in the statement that somebody doesn't like specifically?
They claim that him saying that there was problems in the city right now financially was him talking personally about other people.
Are there problems in the city financially?
He talked about the budget and he had said factual statements.
Well, and we know that the police department's on a skinny budget,
yeah.
You know, and some other thing. Well, that's very this whole. It's another one of those stories that I just, wow, okay. Now we have Mr. Adam Hill, and we have a situation going on with Adam Hill, And he says that he's in the red after he ran for office, and he'd like to politely not be there.
He sent out a letter to even some supporters of Ed Waughey, asking, saying, you know, this was a really rough campaign. People said mean things about me. I had to fight last minute. And he did spend $200 in the last week. I think he didn't plan on spending. Kevin Rice put out a robocall saying something about Adam Hill. Adam Hill followed up with a robocall and spent about $200, which I bet he did not expect to spend, battling that robocall. But here's one of the issues. That last week or two, the last few weeks of a campaign, that doesn't show up on that last statement. So by the time you see the actual numbers, you know, those pre-numbers showed that he was probably, you know, 5 to 10,000, you know, a couple thousand below what he should be, I think. But when right before the election, he got a ton of donations. For example, one company here that it's a development company that does commercial developments. The day before the election, they gave him $6,000, SenCal Pacific Properties LLC. The day before, knowing most reporters write what can be seen in a couple weeks. They don't write an election story 3 weeks after an election when suddenly the rest of these donations show. Well, when Adam Hill sent out this plea, he'd already gone $10,000 in the black. He already had $10,000 extra. But instead of saying, wow, I have $10,000 extra, the campaign saved him before that because he hadn't finished filing everything. He sends out this thing begging for more money, claiming he's in the red, when he's actually $10,000 in the black.
Well, the other thing, too, the statement here that always bothers me by any politician in the whole wide world, excuse me, because they just get around the way it was designed to be, and that is he said he blamed the alleged fiscal deficit he blames on media buys for one thing. And let me make it clear once again, politicians get the lowest unit rate that a station is charged at any time during the previous 90 days. And so, therefore, they get these spots for nothing. I mean, really, they really do.
And to blame it on media buys is kind of, Adam Hill did. He had more TV than anybody. He outspent his, and that's one of the biggest advertising is TV. He outspent his opponent for TV massively. That doesn't mean it, but I think the bigger issue is when he sent out this plea claiming he was in the red, he knew if people pulled the documents, it would look like he was in the red, but he already knew he was in the black. He was already $10,000 in the black by the time he sent this email out, this letter out. And he sent a letter out deceiving those that had donated.
I'm not sure if I'm having you back because you're depressing me, really. The world's gone mad. Now, the other thing that we have that, and you can, dwell on these others if you want to more and give us more facts, but here's the thing right here. The other thing that has come up is the Santa Maria teen that was the cadet, the police cadet, now claims that Covarrubias raped her a number of times. And so now, of course, there's nobody left. He's dead, so you can't. How are you going to question anybody that would about it? How can you do it?
And the other, and that's the interesting thing. She says that she was threatened that he'd go and kill her family and her boyfriend. You know, she makes some allegations that she was threatened, and you don't know. But here's one of the interesting things, and this is something that there's a story going around that part of the reason they did the arrest at the DUI checkpoint was a girl was there, and they were afraid they were going to go have relations. She wasn't there. She was at the police department.
Oh, the girl was?
Yeah, she was not. I had thought that, and I'd heard that from two or three people, and I'm thinking, where did this come from? Well, I've looked at the documents. No, she was not there. She had been there earlier. They had called her back to the station and interviewed her. She had called Carubius from the station, and then they sent people out.
Oh, so they... Oh, wow, that is interesting. So obviously she told Carubius that, you know, this is what's happened. You know, I've caved and said this is what's happened to me.
Well, no, when she called in, she didn't say she'd caved because it's a taped conversation. They wanted her to get Carubius to admit that he'd slept with her, and she claimed that she was pregnant. And then he said, you know, if this gets out, I'm going to be, you know, I'd have to kill myself type thing. You know,
is she pregnant?
No.
Okay.
It was something that I think the department thought would be a way of getting him to admit it.
Right.
But I do find it I find it very odd. And she's also suing the Krubius's widow of they were married for 3 weeks. She's one of the people named in the suit.
Because
I guess she claims that she has claimed that the Cadet Explorer program is full of sexual issues between officers and cadets. She has said that even in her previous lawsuit. So she does say, and then she says that the department is aware of the problems, and the department and the city are aware. But to go after his wife of 3 weeks, I found different.
I you know, you can sue anybody. We got there's the old adage, you can sue anybody for whatever you want to, and so therefore she can. But it's hard to try to fathom what she would be suing the wife for. They're just, you know, what, not letting her husband out of sight, or what should, I don't know what it is.
She might have received insurance or something. So she may have some funds, and that she may be going after the insurance that she would have received, or some of, you know.
Yeah, that's a possibility. You know, yeah. I don't know, because I have no idea what kind of life insurance cops carry.
I don't either, but I would think that they probably also have some through the department.
Yeah, I think it might have to be through the department.
Yeah.
Well, and so, well, yeah, this guy, there must be some clause in there that says if we kill you, you don't get your money or something. I don't know what it would be, but it would be something strange. Anyway, that's very interesting. Now, I didn't even know we did this. You know, I'm going to bring up a national story, but this is, the shooting by Texas A&M.
Yeah.
They had a story today on CNN I was watching, and there was a medic from Afghanistan who and he was still in the Army, who videotaped this whole incident, and then as soon as the police officer shot, he asked the other police officers, can I go help the guy? And he tried to help him, but the police officer died in the hospital. The perp, the guy that did the shooting, he was shot. And so he asked the medic to tell the police officer he was sorry that he did it. And then he also died. So the whole thing was a strange story. But the other thing that was really strange about the story, and you might say, well, Bill, that's not really relevant. Well, it is to me, is they refer to the police officers, and I've never heard of this anywhere except England, as constables.
That is different.
They do. Every time they've brought it up, they haven't said police officers. They've used the term constables. And I don't, I guess they're interchangeable, I suppose, but I don't know. That just seems weird to me.
It might just be something they do down there. I don't know.
People do whatever they do.
Well, what do you think about the strange, the Atascadero man that ruined his entire life in one afternoon in Santa Maria with the robbing of the bank and everything that followed?
I think what's interesting in Santa Maria is Santa Maria has become quite entertaining. I mean, they pick up police officers, shoot each other, they get carjacked. What's going on down there? No wonder they voted the chief out, for gosh sakes. You know, that's just craziness right there.
And can you see this guy that lives up in Atascadero say, I'm going to rob a bank, I'll go to Santa Maria?
I don't, who knows how the brain works when you're defective. But something's just totally strange. Let's see what else we got here, because we'll still have you back Friday, because there will be more things coming up here. But let me see what else I have here that I want to bring up here. Oh, I have to say, I was shocked. I was shocked when your story about San Bernardino and how much money they owe CalPERS.
Oh, I know.
And they said that they owe $143.3 million to CalPERS, but that they were possibly $1 billion in debt. How would any city ever think they're going to climb out from that? How did you ever get to that point? I mean, I don't. It's like bizarre. This isn't something that could have happened overnight to be $1 billion in debt.
And they also though say they have $1 billion almost coming in, but they're running short all the time. And I think CalPERS though is their biggest issue.
Well, okay, so I see what you're saying. I'm still surprised. San Bernardino, I mean, I still think that's a lot of money. San Bernardino's a big place, but it's not so darn big that I thought that they would, be bringing $1 billion. But anyway, so the CalPERS thing is the thing. So now Now here's what's interesting is I have no idea what the judge would say as far as, you know, what the judge's job is in a bankruptcy situation is to say, okay, what monies do you have to pay and what can help keep you solvent? Well, I would think if they owe $143 million to CalPERS, some of that's going to go away and they're already in trouble. So we'll have more stories about CalPERS in the near future and the distant future and the forever when it comes to what's going on with that state fund. And remember, they have to reach a certain number, like 7% or whatever it was. They have to make 7% a year. And if they don't, the taxpayers make up the difference. And this year they only made something like 1.5%. So we're making up the difference in what they didn't make. I'm feeling put upon. I got to tell you the truth. I'm feeling put upon. So anyway, that's what's happening. That's what's happening right now at CalCoastNews.com. Absolutely amazing. Check it all week long, and we'll have Karen back on Friday because more crazy things will be going on. Check in with CalCoast News. And Karen, I thank you, madam.
Thank you.
All right.
the good, the bad, and the ugly.
The last story, a date on a soldato. The story of a soldier. Of music for being in that movie, don't you think? Hi, I'm Bill Benica. This is Talking Sheep, Friends and Neighbors Network on 1340 KYNS in San Luis Obispo. Thank you for joining me. I appreciate it. And we're talking about stuff that's going on today. Man, oh man. Stuff. Well, here they just had on CBS News, and they had it in the trip today. Aircraft test hypersonic limits today. So this is called a wave rider. It actually rides its own sonic boom. So I can go up to 3,600 miles an hour. That's what they're shooting for, 3,600 miles an hour. Now, can I tell you something that's very weird? And so I can go from L.A. to New York in, where is it right here? L.A. from New York in a few minutes. I don't know, just half an hour or something, 45 minutes, whatever. How come I lost it again? Anyway, go fast. And so they've been dreamed about this for years and years and years, is what they're saying. But here's what's really interesting, if I can tell you the truth. This is interesting. It's five times the speed of sound. So passenger aircraft traveling at the speed could fly from L.A. to New York in 46 minutes. So they're going to test it today for like a sustained period of time. I was told by someone who will leave nameless and will leave jobless. I was told by someone 35 years ago that we could build a plane like this if someone was willing to pay for it. And at that time, nobody's willing to pay for it. So now it's interesting because now you got NASA and the Pentagon are financing the three national centers that are doing this. And you would think, you know, that's what it's going to take. You know, I mean, Boeing's not going to make it. They have no motive for it. But anyway, that's interesting, I think. I saw this video on TV. Insurgents claimed to down a fighter jet in the battle for Syria. And Syria regime disputes report, which could signal rebels have boosted their firepower. Now, they've always had that. They show that anti-aircraft gun. It looks like about a 20-millimeter anti-aircraft gun on the back of a Jeep or truck that they drive around and shoot. And, at some point you can get lucky. And it seems to me maybe they did. I think maybe they did. All right. Other things going on. I'm excited about that airplane thing. That's kind of cool. All right, here's some other things that are in the news today. Dictionaries adds 100 new words, so now they got them all over the place. F-bomb, sexting, flexitarian, obesogenic, energy drink, and life coach. And all the company picks about 100 additional for the 114-year-old dictionary's annual upgrade. And so this is what's going on with the Webster's Collegiate Dictionary, which I consulted on that word I told you about the other day. Nothing. 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 A ha-ha moment, popularized by Oprah. Stephen King popularized earworm, as in the truly torturous tune you can't get out of your head, and man cave, brain cramp, and bucket list. What does he call it? An earworm. That's happened to me recently. I've had a song banging around here. I can't stop. Then there's copernicium, a short-lived, artificially produced radioactive element that has 112 protons and is named for the astronomer Copernicus. The recession blues are represented. Merriam-Webster added systematic risk and a new definition for underwater, meaning you owe more on your property than it's worth. So there's some of our new words. Energy drink. Is there any missed e-reader? Man cave. Mashup, which is something created by combining elements from two or more sources, like a mashup. Like, taters and butter and milk is a mashup. Okay, other people are in the news. Gregory Powell, who was convicted of killing a Los Angeles police officer during an infamous kidnapping that inspired the true crime book and movie The Onion Field by Joseph Wamba, has died in prison at the age of 79. He tried to get parole here because he was dying last time he was up for parole, and they said no. Say that. Now, can I just say this? I really enjoyed Joseph Wambaugh. When Joseph Wambaugh was at in his prime there, I was enjoying Joseph Wambaugh books by one after the other. When it got to the Onion Field, this is the sad part. It was a true story. It was very, I thought it was the most, one of the most boring books I ever read. I mean that. Now, he did another book about true stuff about the San Diego Police Department called Lines and Shadows, which I found fascinating. But the Onion Field, I just kind of dragged through that one. A firefighter was killed in Idaho, and another firefighter suffered burns after she had to deploy her emergency fire shelter as wildfires continue raging across the United States. What is it, 41 fires? At least 41 fires. And then the person that was killed had a tree fall on him. So that's why you don't see that coming. So that's really weird. So you got all the people out there campaigning, you know, and now it's gotten to be the big thing. Now here's when you thought you could go back in the water and get a job, 4,000 lose Motorola jobs, and that's Google is making the cuts 3 months after buying the troubled cell phone maker. So you don't hear much about Motorola these days. But then again, sometimes you don't hear about people, and they're viable in some other ways. They have like a microchip department or something like that makes it successful, but other parts aren't. Google stock rose $18 or 2.8% to close Monday at 660.01. Reductions represent about 20% of Motorola's mobility, 20,000 employees, and 7% of Google's overall workforce. Somebody's trying to reach me on the phone, and I can't reach back. Sorry. I wish the Sacramento Bee hadn't been the one that wrote this perspective on the Sacramento Bees being picked on by the governor. I think it's a valid argument that they have, but basically this thing was about we're having a new Bay Bridge section, east lane of the Bay Bridge was redone, and they found out that not only had somebody sort of falsified and phonied some test results, they were let go and then brought back, and they were still doing the phony test results. So what they're basically saying the Sacramento Bee is that it says governor's enabler of malpractice at Caltrans. And so how bad can it constantly be? Last year, the California State Auditor found cost overruns on 476 projects amounting to $305 million, while the Legislative Analyst Office wrote that Caltrans, managing $10 billion in highway projects, provides insufficient information regarding the basis for workload and staffing. So we're back to one of these things where, like we've had recently with parks and all that, we have a bureaucracy in Sacramento that's downright spooky. They had another story, maybe we can get to it here later, about it was just another kind of crazy thing. And what was I going to tell you about? Well, this just had to do with, I think maybe we did get to it. It had to do with these different departments and things that there's no oversight for. There's committees. That's what they are. They're committees. They don't even meet. They don't even commit. And so the people get paid money and stuff. And it's like, what the heck is going on in our state? Well, look at the bottom line. You can tell what's going on. Speaking of water, which we were earlier, Dan Moraine, who I don't think I've ever read anything by him, who carries their water, Sacramento Bee. He's talking about a place called Easton, which is out in the valley, a few miles from Fresno, and it's out in the middle of nowhere. Anyway, so they're having a hard time there because they have to use bottled water because they think the well water is no good. Here's the basic thing, and this is why I'm surprised when they say San Francisco, you maybe should have less water. I'm like, what? I don't know how anyone could imagine, after the Salinas Valley has been farmed, pesticided, fertilized, etc., for as many years as Salinas Valley has been, that anyone anywhere near the Salinas Valley would not consider the fact that maybe they could have trouble with the water if it's coming out of a well. And the same thing with the Central Valley. I mean, it stands to reason. Where do you think it's going? So, and it's been going on for so long, I don't even know what the answer to that is. If you stopped everything today, I don't know that you would be cleaned up for years and years and years and years and years, by nature. But we got to have chow, so we choose to have chow. And the people should drink bottled water, I guess, that live in these areas. I didn't have any letters today, Brandon. I like Charters are good. Charter Cable. I tell you about Charter. It's smarter. They got the triple play going on right now where you can get Charter Telephone, $29.95 a month if you bundle it with Charter Internet, which is $29.95 a month, which if you bundle it with your TV and your cable TV, and that's $29.95 a month if you bundle all three together. So that's going on right now at Charter, and if you're smarter, you'll get Charter because it really is. And here's the thing they're talking about right here. Cable is winning the broadband battle. They have, they have 30 megs that Charter has, and it contrasts with that about 20 times. Well, no, it's about, that's about, about 10 times faster, about 10 times faster. So, and some of the cable people are up to, they said some of the cable people are up to 100 megabits. So, but here's the weird part. Now, wait, you know? Wow, huh? Say who? What? Susan Crawford, a professor at Cardozo Law School in New York, has argued that a looming cable monopoly in three-quarters of the country is the central crisis of our communications era. She suggests that the U.S. follow the example of countries that have forced cable providers to allow other companies to provide Internet service over their cables. The service providers would compete with each other and provide some choice to the consumer, she says. I mean, wouldn't you feel a little weird if you built it, you did it, and somebody said, but you should let other people use it? Well, it wasn't meant for that. That's a little strange to me, I gotta tell you the truth. A little strange. The Olympics brought less tourist money to a recession hit Britain than business had hoped for, naturally, I mean, what'd expect. So, but they did okay. FedEx is going to start to be, again, offering buyouts to U.S. employees to try to get rid of some people. Sears is moving forward with plans to spin off its hometown and outlet stores, as well as some hardware stores into a separate publicly traded company. I didn't know Sears still had just hardware stores. They do? Well, how do you know? You learn new stuff every day. So there's Sears right there. Now, here's international news that's very important. Israel is pressing the UN to declare Iran nuclear talks dead. That way, everything they're saying can be on the table. They're talking, this is going to happen, I would say, pretty soon. With what's going to happen in Iran. Once again, they don't have to destroy the whole thing. All they have to do is keep people from getting in and out of it. And so I'm not sure what their plans are, but you know, this thing looks like it's coming to fruition here. In the earthquake in Iran, the death toll from Saturday's twin earthquakes rose to 306 yesterday, and about 50 people died in hospitals. More than 3,000 were injured. This was a bad earthquake. Russia's foreign minister and ministry on Monday harshly criticized new UN sanctions on Iran. Okay, we're having a good time with the Russians. Wait, Fidel Castro had a birthday yesterday. I forgot to say, did I say happy birthday? I think I did. Yeah. Happy birthday, Fidel. And he was out of public view, though, so... It says Communist Party newspaper Grama published memories of Castro from people familiar with him, such as Cuban journalists and cohorts from the 1959 revolution. I don't think he's doing so good. Now, here is the most ridiculous. I'm going to finish this national news or the international news with this, because I cannot believe this is how the man worded this. The new U.S. ambassador to Afghanistan, James Cunningham, called a rash of attacks on international forces by the Afghan partners as troubling. Yesterday. Troubling. A policeman turns around and kills three U.S. soldiers, and that's troubling? It's certainly worth more. It's not just troubling, it's tragic. And something's completely gone wrong now, as far as I can see. Bring them home.
At Pacific Coast Kitchen and Bath, we're all about improving your life. When you remodel your kitchen or bath, we want to make sure that you get exactly what you want. A fabulous spa-like bathroom with a walk-in shower, invigorating shower heads, and state-of-the-art faucets. Maybe your dream is a beautiful country farmhouse sink. Pacific Coast Kitchen and Bath has the fixtures. You have the dreams.
Pacific Coast Kitchen and Bath, behind Trader Joe's in San Luis Obispo.
Yeah, I know. I'm finally letting John take me out to lunch. I know he's not my type. I just hope he doesn't take me to someplace I've ate a million times. Oh, shoot. Here he comes. Talk to you later.
Hey there. You ready for lunch?
Sure. Where are we going?
I've been dying to try Slow Brew for lunch.
Okay.
If the same old thing for lunch over and over and over is driving you crazy, stop the madness and try something new at Slow Brew. Affordable, delicious food, great ambiance. It's Slow Brew, downtown Slow, with $3 tacos, your choice of steak, chicken, or Alaskan cod. Vegetarians, try their Peace and Love vegan hummus platter. And all of Slow Brew's salads, burgers, and sandwiches can be ordered in either full or half-size portions. Even their most popular, the Thai ahi salad. Loosen up your day a little bit by adding one of Slow Brew's award-winning microbrews to your lunch. It's Slow Brew, serving lunch Tuesday through Sunday at 1119 Garden Street, downtown Slow.
I don't know about a new guy, but I definitely have a new lunch spot. Slow Brew.
Just like the Dodgers on the field, your car is a finely tuned machine. Keep your car running Dodger smooth at Black Road Auto. You can save money on all types of car repair, foreign and domestic. With over 20 years of experience in transmission and car repair, Black Road Auto has over 15 acres of classic and hard-to-find auto parts. When you need your car repaired, transmission service, or auto parts, think of Black Road Auto. Black Road Auto, 1500 Black Road, Santa Maria, or call them at 346-2770. That's 346-2770.
You're now in Bill Benica's world, where talk is cheap.
Yes, you are. Yes, you are. While that was playing, I took a phone call off the air, and it was nice for Chris to call me and explain something. And now this is I can explain to you. I share it with my house, Mr. When a police officer is serving an eviction notice, which I guess is how this all began, when the police officer, this is in Texas, when the police officer serving an eviction notice, they're then called a constable. They assume that name as they're serving eviction notice. I'm sure the people being evicted have other names for them. Remember that F-bomb I told you about is a new word in the dictionary. Sure, there's a few of those. And some other slurs on the person's good name. Anyway, that's what's happening with that. Thank you very much, Chris, for letting us know that. See, you need to have people that know. Because if Chris had never called, you'd go around scratching your head all day going, why would they call him a constable? Maybe when they do something else, they call them a gendarme. I don't know. All right, this is I'm going to Sunday's paper, going backwards to Jotopia, and I got a kick out of his article. And people, you know, I don't know why he riles people so, because he's really funny. If you realize that he's doing this all tongue in cheek, and I think the man's got a good sense of humor. But one thing he did say, so he's talking about the Morbay sewer plant, and he said, this is funny how he said this. Let's build a town next to a monolithic natural landmark. This is a good idea. Then let's build a monolithic man-made landmark next to the natural one and ruin the view. This is a bad idea. Speaking of the Morro Bay power plant. Now, but he did say this. Now, here we go again. Now, this is interesting. This is interesting. We're going to remember the late Alex Madonna when I tell you this. He said, I have one more proposal. It's a dramatic one. You will either think I'm a complete genius or a total idiot. I think it's long overdue for Morro Bay to take great advantage of this rock as a scenic destination. The fact that all you can do now is drive up to its base and look up is not nearly maximizing the landmark's potential. Why are the birds the only ones who get to enjoy the view from the top? My proposal, a chairlift. Imagine a modest little operation in the parking lot, shuttling tourists up the backside of the viewing up the backside to a viewing platform on top, while the rest of the area remains protected for our feathered friends. You know, and now here was another guy. Now, I know it seems far-fetched because you'd have to have elevators or something involved, and I know what I'd have to have. But remember, I'm trying to remember who it was that wrote this thing. It was somebody that the name is familiar to all of us. Anyway, somebody wrote a letter that said, this is why about 6 months ago, said, why don't you zip line in Morro Bay? Why don't you have a zip line that runs down to the Embarcadero and to the plant? Actually, it would just run one direction. Have a zip line. This would have to be two directions, I think, because otherwise it's a long walk. You have a zip line that goes to the sand spit, and then a zip line that would go to the rock. That was their idea. I like it. I think it's cute. Of course, Alex Madonna was the guy that wanted to put a gondola affair and have it go up the side of Madonna Mountain and then put a restaurant on top, which was all involved in the fire road that was carved into the mountain and late at night and the city getting freaked out and, oh, Lord. Anyhow, I thought it was a great idea. I thought, what an attraction. What a really cool, because, you know, and everybody mentions when they talk about it, they talk about Mount San Jacinto in Palm Springs. And, you know, if you're not rich and you're playing on a golf course in Palm Springs, what else is there to do in Palm Springs? Nothing. It's hot. If you're not on a golf course or in a swimming pool, you got to find something to do. So they have a gondola going up to San Jacinto Mountain. And that's pretty cool. I don't know. I'm sure there's good reasons for it, though. All right, here they're talking about the zebra and the quagga mussels and how bad they are. And listen to this. Yeah, it doesn't seem so bad until you hear numbers. Then you go, say what? I'd say what? Here's what they're spending in Southern California. Let me get to this thing so I can tell you. Here's what they're spending in Southern California because of these crazy mussels. It's like, say what? That's not it. Here it is. All right. So what they want to do is, first let me say this. If you own a boat, can I go for a ride? I like boats. Anyway, they're going to charge, their registration fee is going to go from $20 to $40 to raise cash to fight off the mussel attacks and all that. And then it's on a sliding scale depending on how big the boat is. But they had, I used to circle these things so I was smarter when I got to them. But for some reason, I'm falling down the job here. They had a number in here about how much they figure they've spent. Increasing the fee by $20 every 2 years for the state's 800,000 registered boats could raise about $5 million to $8 million, officials said. And this is to fight the crazy muscles. But they might say here, might be another part of this thing that says it. I don't know. It says the muscle has now colonized 25 Southern California lakes. And it's pretty spooky. They have not so far been found around us or in Northern California. So so far we're doing good. I can't find how much they spent. A lot of money they spent scraping mussels off of grates and vents and things like that. Lots of stuff. All right. I'm for the ski lift gondola, whatever it is when you do that show. I think that's kind of cool. And you notice he said you put on the back side. You put on the back side of the darn rock. You know, that way you're looking at the rock from the front, you don't see it so much. Forget it. That's never. People hate that idea. I already know they hate it, and I'm not even talking about you. We haven't even voted. Okay. I didn't mark it. Yes, I did mark one of these. Oh, you know who wrote and thanked Bill Morum for the column about her and her plight with these tickets she had and all this and with the number of people that came forward to help her out, and that's this Shirley Getz, who just had this terrible time. And so she wrote to thank Bill Morum. She says, thank you, San Luis Obispo County. Thank you, Bill Morum, which is cool. You know, it is amazing. You know, here's the interesting thing. There's an ad on TV that's, I won't say it, who it is, but there's a line in it that says, one thing's for sure, when times get tough on the Central Coast, we all come together. I don't like the line because I don't know what it refers to. You know, I don't know what we all come together to do, but in this case, and in individual circumstances, we do all come together to try to help people out. Not all of us helping everybody, but you know what I'm saying. People come together to help out, which I think is cool. Central Coast, very generous people on the Central Coast. Very, 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 very. And here was an article on Air Force Chief of Staff General Norton Schwartz says the time has come to sharply cut U.S. nuclear weapons, but can a larger nuclear arsenal be resisted is what they're saying. The technology keeps going forward. Technology goes forward. But then the question becomes is, as technology advances forward and we make worse and worse and more terrible things, you know, can we knock off the one on the other side? Can we take the old crusties and get rid of them? So there it is right there. Curiosity rover is a NASA driver's dream job. Select group takes on a grueling schedule to explore the red planet as never before. So they're all excited. This is like a monster truck on Mars they got. And so they're out there going to drive it around, see what it does, you know. The stress can be overwhelming. Separated from the rover by millions of miles, they know they can make no mistakes. So that's a good point, you know. It took a lot to get that thing up there. Now, here's an environmental group. Now, see, this is okay with me. This is what's wrong with this. This is fine. An environmental group buys 3,000 acres in Sierra Nevada after developers default. And that's a coalition of environmental groups said that they had reached an agreement to buy the Royal Gorge Cross Country Ski Resort, which became available after would-be developers defaulted on the loans. Summit has long been a gateway to Northern California with the routes of Native Americans, immigrant wagon trains, and Transcontinental Railroad and Interstate 80 crossing the mountains. So anyway, it sounds like a neat place. The developers said that they proposed building 950 condos and single-family houses on the summit. Their plan raised a howl of opposition from conservation groups, of course, as you can imagine. Purchase price was $11.25 million. Well, that's all right. That's cool. I'm for that program. Buy it. But don't drain it. If there's any water, I don't think you should drain it. That sounds really crazy to me.
Hitch, hitchy.
Clear your throat. Things we may have missed. Ooh, this was kind of a baddie. Columnist for Reed Zakaria, or Zakaria is how you say his name, I'm sorry, Zakaria, suspended by CNN for plagiarism. So he's a very popular guy. He's a multimedia star in addition to Sunday morning program on CNN. He writes regular columns for Time and the Post. CNN said they won't air Zakaria's program the other day and said, okay, that's what we're going to do. Oh, here's what I was telling you about. Senate committee is short on standards. Staff costs exceed $5 million annually, but groups have few performance rules, as in none. There's nothing that says what they have to get accomplished, what they do, how often they have to meet. It's like, you know. Okay. They say a record number of veterans are expected to use the new GI Bill, which I certainly hope is right. Good for you. And don't get suckered into these funny for-profit colleges that charge arm and leg on television. And now here was a really weird kind of story. This was about doctors now are targeting gun violence as a social disease and saying, you know, what are some of the factors that are behind the people that do these things? I don't know if there's they're going to figure this out, but anyway. What makes someone more likely to shoot or someone more likely to be a victim? Which firearms are most dangerous and why? Manufacturers could be pressured to fix design defects, let guns go off accidentally, or to add technology that allows only the owner of the gun to fire it, which they have right now, by the way. Environmental risk factors. What conditions allow or contribute to shootings? Many have suggested revising rules about background checks. Disease patterns, observing how a problem spreads. Gun ownership or precursor to gun violence can spread much like an infectious disease. They say there's a lot of contagion phenomenon after a shooting where people feel they need to have a gun for protection or retaliation. We certainly have had a lot of shootings in our country lately. You got to admit that. Okay. We'll see. We'll see what we see. They had in Afghanistan, they had Al-Qaeda in there just blowing everybody in the world up. They had a whole bunch of attacks yesterday. And things are just not good. Things are not good. Let me see. I was going to play a story for you here. This was tackling traffic in Los Angeles. It can't be done. You can have a big helmet, shoulder pads, the whole thing. You cannot tackle traffic in Los Angeles. It's just not possible because it just doesn't work right. They have an interview also with the first female four-star general, but unfortunately it's way too long, but maybe I'll play a little of it if I can. Let's see if we can find out about L.A.
Anyone who's ever been stuck in L.A. traffic can relate to Michael Douglas's character and the opening scene of the 1993 movie Falling Down. He opens the door, grabs his suitcase, and walks away.
Hey! Where do you think you're going? Going home.
Congestion here is enough to make anyone snap. That's the problem in a city where, according to state statistics, there are more vehicles than people.
LA is the quintessential city of sprawl. What we have to be increasingly is a city that is growing taller, a city that reduces congestion and improves public health by investing in public transit and in infrastructure.
Mayor Antonio Villaraigosa wants to double the size of LA's public transportation system, adding 10 light rail lines, a subway, and a busway.
It is LA's effort to lead the way at a time in America when the American civil engineers have estimated that we have a $2.2 trillion infrastructure need.
He says this will make a smarter, cleaner city, as well as create jobs and rev the economy. But in a time of budget shortfalls and bitter political partisanship, the question is, who will foot the bill?
Infrastructure and transportation has historically not been partisan, and my hope is that it won't be here.
The mayor has proposed a financing idea that lets local governments leverage additional money through federal backing.
A halfpenny sales tax will generate $40 billion for mass transit. We can create that infrastructure by putting up most of the money. All we need is a federal loan subsidy or a bond program that the federal government guarantees.
He says this would be the fast track to paying for projects that would typically take 30 years.
This wouldn't be just for LA. Chicago could do it, New York could do it, other metropolitan areas. At a time in the federal government when we have historic deficits and debt and the federal government says that they want to cut spending, this is a great opportunity to create jobs, invest in infrastructure, address climate change, all now.
I'm Natasha Del Toro for Time Video.
Thank you, dear. Here's the thing right here. Now we're talking about they're going to raise it. They're just talking about raising the tax a penny or whatever, half penny. All like everybody wants to raise tax by half penny at a time until pretty soon it gets to be real money. But here was a story here about if this comes up, like I hope it does. Here it is, taxing marijuana in California. So here's another thought of, and people have talked about doing this forever at this point. But here's some more on that.
Richard Lee runs a thriving business in Oakland, California. Like any other businessman, Lee pays tax on his gross sales. Unlike every other businessman, he asked for it. In fact, he asked for a lot of it.
So, we try to keep a real friendly atmosphere, you know, kind of like a little neighborhood coffee shop.
Lee's coffee shop, Blue Sky, pays the city of Oakland $18 for every $1,000 in gross sales. That's 15 times the normal rate, thanks to a measure Lee helped to get on the ballot in the city's special July election.
We won 4 awards for our excellent service and low prices.
What's behind all the extra taxes? It's not the latte. Coffee shop Blue Sky is a medical marijuana dispensary where California residents can legally buy the drug with a doctor's recommendation. Dispensaries in Oakland are now part of a separate business class. They pay higher gross sales taxes. The new tax law was a victory for advocates of marijuana legalization.
We want to be taxed more because it's cheaper to pay the tax man than it is to pay lawyers. You know, and it's better to be seen as a part of the business community that, you know, is contributing our fair share than to be thrown in jail and treated as criminals.
Lee has been a political activist for 18 years. He is also the president of Oaksterdam University, where students come to train for the medical marijuana industry.
We start off with politics and legal issues. Those are prerequisites. We make everybody take those because we really are about changing the laws and the politics.
Left behind. Now I'm looking at this branch here and I'm thinking, well, the top of it, you know, it's off to the side, is going to be producing something fairly.
Then once the students have taken those classes, then they can go on to horticulture, hash making, cooking with cannabis, bud tending, management, starting your own business, your own dispensary, or other cannabis business.
Early flowering. Some people actually do this right at the end of vegetative growth as they're going into flowering.
In mid-October, the Federal Justice Department announced it will not go after medical marijuana suppliers or users in states where medical marijuana is legal. That announcement energized the Oaksterdam community as they prepare for their next battle.
Now the next step is to change state law to allow cities to formally tax and regulate cannabis business. And so we're working on our initiative called Tax Cannabis 2010.
Tax Cannabis 2010 needs 600,000 signatures by February to get on the ballot. If passed, it will allow California residents over the age of 21 to possess up to an ounce of cannabis. And it lets local governments regulate and tax the sales, potentially generating billions of dollars for the cash-strapped state.
This year, for the first time, we've seen a majority of voters in polling saying that they're in favor of legalization, and we do believe the economy is part of that. The cuts in social services that are going on because of the budget problems, you know, people are more open to changing the laws now than they were a couple of years ago.
I'm for recreational cannabis use, but I also am for the medical movement as well. So I just support cannabis in all, you know, all attributes of it. It would allow for police to change their priority from non-criminal offenses to violent crimes, which is what they should be focusing on. It will also bring in a lot of revenue for the state.
In spite of favorable polls and the financial incentive, Lee is not convinced the measure will pass easily.
It's not really like it's we've made it, you know. There's still a lot of danger and a lot of work to be done. And so, this is just one more battle in a very big war. And until we get to the last one, it's not over.
For Time.com, Sean Donnelly, reporting from Oakland, California.
There you go. You realize in the last 2 days I discovered this Time.com because it plays what you want it to play. So I was pretty excited about that. The only thing is, was that a 2-year-old story? Said 2010. Do they have a, they don't say it's a 2-year-old story. Okay. All right, then. Okay, then. Okay. they did have this story in the news. It was kind of weird. This mother and son team, who she's 70, he's 46, they were tracked down because of their use of a rewards card, police say. They wanted to rip off stores in all 50 states. These are toy stores. So did you hear what they did? I don't quite understand this exactly, because a lot of toys, they show you what it is during bubble packs. So you kind of see what it is you're buying. But they would apparently take something that came in a large, something relatively inexpensive that came in a large box, and then they would take that out and put really expensive stuff in the box, and then they'd pay the lower price. And then they'd sell the stuff on eBay and whatnot. But I'm still a little bit baffled by the story because I don't really kind of get it. The pair had stolen merchandise worth at least thousands of dollars from 139 Toys R Us locations across 27 states. Now, here's what you have to ask yourself, okay? 139 Toys R Us. Toys R Us has more cameras and more security in it than, an airport. And yet somehow they were able to rip off 139 Toys R Us stores? Kmart, CVS. This is without a doubt the number one prolific booster that we've ever come across, according to a cop. He's basically is a one-man show. His mother participated in some of those thefts, but mostly he was the dude. And so it's a remarkable story, really. And you heard it right here from your friend Bill Benica.
Keep smiling. Keep shining. For sure, that's what friends are for. In good times, in bad times, I'll be on your side forevermore. Oh, that's what friends are for. Oh, keep smiling, keep shining.
Singing and dancing. Thanks for joining me today. Hey, we're going to have some more nice weather ahead, hot in the north, kind of. But we'll get together again tomorrow. It'll be Humber Day. Tomorrow's Humper Jumper Day, so cool. We'll get together at noon. Until then, may all your trails be happy ones and don't believe everything you hear here, because
this is Talk is Cheap.
The game is over.
The Friends and Neighbors Network.
Game over.
With Bill Benica.
Happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails to you. Keep smiling until then.
Happy trails.